Okay, Perichof Aleph Pasuk of Beis. Kalakel Yilame Doas V'hu Ramim Yishpot. Okay, so we are continuing our discussion. Eov is responding back to Tsofar HaNa'amasi, and he's telling Tsofar that you got your facts wrong. Tsofar, you claim that there are Rishom. Rishom do not succeed, do not survive very long. I'm telling you that's not the way I see things from my life experience. The Rishoyim, they thrive. There's something called Rasha V'Tovloi. And he gives many examples. And here, and then he, at one point in time, he said about himself that I'm very proud that I'm not counted in this group. And then he digressed to describe that although maybe you're right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately judge them and bring upon the next generation suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may punish the parents or the will punish them by bringing suffering upon their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Even that has no meaning because the Rasha, in his wickedness, does not care about the fate of his children, grandchildren. And then he says here in Pasuk HaBeis, Halakel Yilame Do'as V'hu Ramim Yishpo. Do you think, this seems to be a general rebuke to his friends. Do you think you can understand Hashem's ways? Hashem, we'll see the exact translation in a moment. Bahu Ramim Yishpat HaKadosh Baruch Hu's form of judgment is beyond man's comprehension. Let's look at Pasuk HaBeis in the Mitzudos. Pasuk HaBeis, Halakel Hayesh Mi Asher Ba'avur HaKel Yilmadas. Is there a person? Is there me, Asher Ba'avur HaKel, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yilmadas, can understand knowledge, Lohavin Mishpato, that can understand Hashem's ways? So this seemingly means there's no one that's able to teach or to understand Hashem's ways. Why? V'halohu yisparch yishpoit mishpatim ramim. The pasuk concludes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpat is beyond, is exalted. Asher gavul between us Adam. It's beyond the understanding of the human being. So the word yilamed, it's not really clear in the Mitzudos, at least I don't have clarity. Does it mean that to learn or to teach? Rashi appears to say something a little bit different. Look at Rashi Pasuk of Beis. Rashi Pasuk, where is the Rashi? Halakel Yilmadas, Hayesh Echad Mikem Ashohu Tachas Hakel, Sheyilmadas Mahi Hamida Hazos. Is there a person here that can possibly learn, understand, to learn the ways of Hashem? V'huramim Yishboit Kegoin Ani. It is Hashem's ways are exalted. His judgment is exalted. Kegoin Ani v'hatzadikim ha'chashuvim hu miyaser v'don v'nifar mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the tzadikim. Tzadik v'ralo. In other words, this mid of tzadik v'ralo is beyond man's understanding. Who are the tzadikim? That's Ani v'hatzadikim ha'chashuvim hu miyaser. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chastises v'don judges v'nifar mehem kemo v'lo yifne derech. Just like in Noach and Mesushalach, so this appears in Masechet Chelek, where Kadosh Baruch Hu, there he judged the tzaddikim Noach and Mesushalach, and they were tzaddikim. Noach, each tzaddik, Tamuya, but the rest of Mesushalach was a tzaddik, and Kadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them suffering. Noach suffered very much in the Teva; he suffered from the generation. And the same way we do not understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them suffering, we're not going to understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon me suffering. Lishnachrina, Halakel Yilmadas. What?
Yes.
Noach, for 120 years when he built the Teva, Chazal said that he suffered. People mocked him. So that was a very great form of suffering. And in the Teva itself, where he had to feed the animals, he was bitten by the lion, and he had no menucha. So this itself was a very great source of a pain for Noach. Okay, so little games.
There's no record of his suffering. The
Mabul
was, I think, delayed until after he passed away.
Right. Mesushalach died before this, yeah. But he did not sin. Mesushalach didn't. Okay, so what exactly was his sin? You're asking what exactly was his sin? Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, lo yifne derech kram. Hashem does not turn the kram in Haman's vineyard. Hashem does not turn away the way of the vineyards. The vineyards over here is a reference. Okay, this is something. I'm not exactly sure what this chazal means. This is some type of a reference to the tzaddikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused them to suffer. Okay, lishnachrina halakel yil madas klemer ha'ani tzach lulam doidas. According to teach, then over here means to teach Hashem. Is there a human being that would dare say to Hashem, come, let me teach you something? That's ridiculous. Halakel yilmadas, will you attempt to teach Hashem knowledge? Kolaymar, ho anit soch lamdoi das, do I need to teach Hashem das lishbait emes hu, to teach Hashem the truth? Who atz mo no da shekein HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the emes, aval hu yishbait dinim ramim, but instead just the opposite, Hashem judges in an exalted way, begava in His greatness, the nigdalu, the enoi chosh ledaktik, and okay, I'm not exactly what I mean. The enoi chosh ledaktik, the zeh shamati v'loy harishon. The second interpretation, just of this, the question is, who is the yilamet? Is the yilamet means should the person learn, or is the pasuk mean that a person is over here is saying that he's going to teach Hashem?
So the second version I heard.
The second version he's saying is this question. It's ridiculous. Does a person have the chutzpah to say that he's going to try to teach HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowledge? It's ridiculous. The person wouldn't dare. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he is doing. Hashem knows his ways. V'hu ramim yishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges with a standard of mishpat that is beyond the understanding of a human being. And how dare a man say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will teach you how to judge this world. Now he gives, now in the next psukim he gives examples. Now he yomus be'etzem tumo, he refers back to the Rishayim. The Rasha dies in the etzem, means in the essence of his perfection. Kulo, he is entirely in a state of shal anon v'sholev. The word shal anon is a composite of two words. Of, we'll see in the Rashi, it's two words which means that he's completely serene, peace. Shalev also, like basically these two words mean he is in a state of peace. He does not suffer. When the Rasha dies, he lives a perfect life without any suffering whatsoever. Let's see the Mesulas Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Zeh Yomus, Hinei Af Rasham Ha'echad Yomus, B'Tekef Shalem Muso, with regard to the wicked, they die in a state of perfection. The Choli Mechayev Yeshev Behashkep V'Shalva, they live out their days in perfect peace. Rashi Pasuk of Gimel, Zeh HaRasha Yomus, Nenash Be'etzem Tumo, B'mar, he's punished. Be'etzem Tumo, B'maresh Lemuso Lechosar, and okay, I'm not really clear with these Rashis. So what is a Nenash? 23. This person is a Nenash. He dies, which means he's Be'etzem. Now that refers to his punishment. In his full strength, the etzem tumo b'maresh lemuso lechosar. Nothing is lacking. Now, I think nenesh over here just means that he dies. His end comes in a state of peace. He does not have to suffer like other people in this world suffer. Shal anon shalom kamo shanon. It's another word which means to be at peace. It's like basically saying he's just going back to what he said in the beginning of the parak, is I disagree with you, Seifar. Seifar made the claim that Rishoyim, they do suffer. Eof says it's not so. From what I see, I find that they do not suffer. They die in a state of peace. Like we discussed yesterday, they don't have a long period of suffering like what Eof was going through. Now he describes here in the next pasuk another example, Atinov Molu Cholov. Now Atinov, the way it's commonly translated is the Shaddai, means the breasts. He's over here referring to, it's just like a person, he's a healthy person, a woman that has milk to nurse her children, with using that as a metaphor, a Rasha is in this is similar in that in that respect, that he has money in the bank. He has nothing to worry about. Atinov malu cholov, his breasts are filled with milk. It's just an expression. Umoach atzmosav yeshukeh, the marrow of his bones is well watered. Yeshukeh, it's wet. It's just an expression which means that he's perfectly healthy. Everything, he lives his life out to the end in a state of perfect health. He doesn't need to go to the doctor. Let's see Chavdal Mitzudos. Chavdav Atinov, Hashadayim Shalom Molu Cholov, his breasts are filled with milk, Volonis Yabesh, Memoach Atzmosov, the marrow of his bones does not dry up, Kilu Hoyu Mashkin also, Bedover Hamelachlech, it's as if there's someone injecting fresh marrow, watering his bones to keep him healthy. Kikol Yom of his Sanag Betanugim, because the Russia, the Mitzis, the Russia lives out his days in a state of health and enjoyment. Rashi pasuk of Dalit, atinav malu cholov losho mishnehu. This word atinav is found in the Mishnah. Reference to olives. Otno bebeis habat. What does that mean in Masechta Menachos? Otno bebeis habat. Tsoivrim hazesim yachat. They collect the olives together in a bucket. This word atinav is a special bucket that's designated to store and collect olives. The shumnam misagel misasef lesochon, and the oil of the olives begins to trickle and collect in the bucket. Kidei sheyehi muchon. So that it should be ready when they press it in the olive press. So this is the first stage of collecting the olives from the field. They put it in these buckets, not to lose any oil that will drip from the oils as they're collected. And everything should be ready to go to the next stage in the process where they're going to put it in the olive press. The also klishet soivim also kdei la'asev shamno, this utensil which they put it in the olives to collect the oil, l'socha nikra ma'aton, is called ma'aton. Afkan chelbo, so here we are using the word chol of milk, chalavo, the milk, vilach lucho, in its moisture, v'shumno, nikra is called, al shem atinav, is called by the name of this utensil. So we're here, even though we're not discussing oil, we're discussing milk, but milk over here is similar to the product that this person produces. It's all being collected and prepared for storage for a later point in time. Okay, so basically we're saying over this Rasha, this is a figure of speech or an expression, a metaphor, that he is in perfect health. And then what happens? Pasuk of Hey, Vezei Yomus B'Nefesh Mara, the Lo Ochal Batova. On the other hand, we're comparing two people. We're comparing over here, the Pasuk of Hey corresponds to Pasuk of Gimel Chavdal. See, there's a pattern. Pasuk Chav Gimel says, we have over here, he's going to say they're going to be two people, and we're going to compare them to each other. On the one hand, we have Pasuk of Gimel. We have Zei Yomus, we have this man, the Rasha. The Rasha who lived out a life of perfection. And on the other hand, we have Pasuk of Gimel, the Zeyamus, the Tzaddik that suffered his entire life. Pasuk of Gimel Chavdal described the Rasha who lived a wonderful life and died. The moment before he died, he was in perfect health, which means he did not have to suffer throughout his entire life. And on the other hand, we have Pasuk Chafei, Zeyamus, we have a tzaddik that suffered his entire life, Benefesh Mora, he dies in a state of bitterness, V'loi Ochal Batoiva, never in his lifetime did he have nachas. Did he eat, did he consume what is good, what he really deserved? Pasuk Chafei, in the Mitzudos, V'Zeyamus, V'cho Echad Yamus, the other person dies, benefesh mar, in a state of bitterness, min hakoshi hamazel, due to his bad mazel, for the ochal me'ola mesuda tova u'ugon, he never his whole life had enjoyment in this world. And now these two people, see Rashi Pasuk of Hey, v'zei yamus benefesh mara, haramim v'hakidoshim, Elov Yipora Miyad Mehem, the exalted ones and the holy ones, the people that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the ones that Kadosh Baruch Hu views as being holy and exalted, that Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes in this world immediately, does not wait to punish their neshama in the next world. And now, what happens to these two people? They're lying in the cemetery next to each other. It's the most that we go to a cemetery, you have no idea. Past cemetery, you see all the graves, and right next to each other, you can have two people, and one had a miserable life. Agmas Nefesh and Tsaris, and the other person had a wonderful life, and the one that had a wonderful life was an evil person, and the one that had a miserable life was a Tzaddik Yisod Olam. And now Pasuk Chavav says, Yachad, together, Al Afar Yishkavu, they lie on the earth together. Who would know? They suffer the same fate. V'rima Tichas Saleim, and the worms, the same worms, consume both of their bodies. So this is what Eov is saying. This goes back to Pasuk Chav Beis. Can you understand this? Pasuk Chav Beis. Let's read first with Chavav in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Chavav. Yachad vehema shaychem leacher hamisa al ha'afar. Both of these people, they lie together on the grave after death. Yachad ze kizeh veharama techase al shneim. The rim of techase al shneim. The worms cover them both. Doime b'doime. They're equal. Uchoimer ma'adua yekain. And therefore, Eve over here is complaining. Why is this so? Haloi shneim hayushavim b'dvar haresha. They both are equally wicked. Okay, that's one translation we'll see in a moment. Why is it so that two seemingly according to the Mitzudas, they're discussing two wicked, but I can't tell one is a tzaddik. Not necessarily so. According to the Mitzudas, we're discussing two different, even among the wicked. That's how he appears to learn. Even among the wicked, it's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that one over here is a tzaddik. But according to the Mitzudas, he says, which seemingly means that they're both equally wicked. Why is it so that there are two Rishayim and one Rasha suffers in this world and the other Rasha lives out a peaceful life? The Rasha that suffers in this world is what there is the Rasha that Tzoifar was referring to in the previous parak. Tzoifar told Eov that it's not true that it's Rasha v'Tovlo, there are Rishayim that suffer. Eov said, you're right, there are indeed Rishayim that suffer, but they are very, very few. The vast majority of the Rishayim have wonderful lives. And here, seemingly, according to the Mitzvahs, we're coming to compare these two Rishayim, the lying in the grave, and two Rishayim right next to each other. One had a wonderful life, one had a miserable life. Why is that so? Now, this entire sequence goes back to Pasuk Chav Beis, where he began introducing Pasuk Chav Gimel, Chav Dal, Chav Hei, and Chavav with the words Halekel Yelame Do'as V'hu Ramim Yishpot. This is the exalted nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat. There is no way a human being can understand why it should be so to walk into a cemetery and to see two graves next to each other, which are common occurrence. You study their lives, get a bio on each of the two people, and understand why one person had a miserable life and why one person had a wonderful life. When either they were both, as the Mitzudah seems to say, they were both equally wicked, or as Rashi appears to say, the one that was a righteous person is the one that had the miserable life, and the one that was an evil person had the wonderful life. To understand this concept is Ramim Yishpot. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment, which is exalted beyond human beings' understanding, and there's no way a human being can understand Halakel Yilam Edas on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To relate to this judgment, is it possible for a human being to learn? Is there any school in this world that can teach a person understanding to understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu does this to people? One person suffers and one person lives? Impossible. Or according to Rashi's second interpretation, can you tell a Kadosh Baruch Hu what to do? Impossible. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do what he wants to do with his understanding, and it's not for us to understand. Rashi Pasuk Chavav
is making a case for himself.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
That's why he's telling Tzoifar that you're foolish. Tzoifar was telling him that the fact that you're suffering indicates that you're a Rasha. You're a Rasha. He was saying that's not, and Tzoifar was saying, look at the door of stone. The door of stone, the Rasham, were destroyed. The Rasham suffered. He says, yeah, that was only one generation. There's a generation Dor Hamabel where the Rasham had very long, healthy, good lives, and they died in a state of peace. So don't go tell me. You want to go compare, you'll have two graves, a grave for a person, the Dor Dar of Stom and a grave from the person of the Dar of the Mabul, put them next to each other. Are you going to explain to me why one didn't suffer? Of course, it's impossible. So therefore, you have no right to judge me and tell me the reason why I'm suffering is because I'm a Rasha. I'm not a Rasha. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat is beyond a human being's understanding. Rashi, Pasuk Chavav, Yachad Alofa Yishkavu, V'l'achar Mosen, Ein Nikar Librios, or after the death, it's not Nikar Librios, Mi Hara Mi Hatoiv, Ki Kezeh Kein Zeh. What happens to one happens to the other. Yachad Alofa Yishkavu, they lie in the grave together. So Rashi very clearly says, like he said before, that one is a tzaddik and one is a rasha. But one is a tzaddik. The mitzudos appear to disagree, and we're comparing over two different types of rishoyim. Sometimes, yeah. Bidvar haresha, yeah. V'chaim madu yekein. Question. Are they both equal? Okay, you want to be like, okay, and very okay. Should it really be so? Okay, and very good. Okay, so then they're both two different. But on the other hand, we also have to keep in mind, obviously, I don't have clarity in any of this, but you have to keep in mind that Eve here, it goes back to Pasuk Yud Zayin. With Pasuk Yud Zayin, Eve said, Kama ner reshoim yidach. Eve acknowledged that what Tzofar said is true. Eve said, at least the way we learn the Mitzudos is that Tzofar, you're making a very good point. Study history, and you will indeed find that there are many Rishoyim that were destroyed. We find Rishoyim were destroyed, their families were destroyed, evil gets its day in court. But how many of them are there? A handful. Just a handful. Kama ner Rishoyim yidach v'yavo le mo'edim. How many? How many does this happen to? How often does it happen? The vast majority of the Rishoyim are not like that. So if that would be correct, that even, and we would want to say that what he's saying now continues to that theme, and he's comparing two different types of people. Zeyamus, the Pasuk of Gimel, and the Pasuk of another is Zeyamus, and we're describing two different people. Are we describing a tzaddik and a rasha? Or maybe we're describing two different types of rishoyim? Why would it be? And okay, then perhaps there are different ways to approach to understand these psukim. Okay, so these psukim, Papasin Chav Beis, Chav Chavav, really that completes one theme. Now he goes on to a new theme. He now winds down his final response to Tzofar, and he says as follows. It's a new theme. Hein yodati machshavoy seichem umizimos olai tachmosu. Tzofar, I know what you're thinking. I know all of your thoughts. I know all of everything that's behind your logic, but I also know that you, Tzofar, this is a very interesting and deep concept. I also know that, Tzofar, you also, if you would want to play devil's advocate, you could. If you're playing now the defense lawyer, you're the prosecutor. You're coming here to prosecute me and tell me that I'm a Rasha, I deserve it, I'm getting, and you're coming to defend the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I know good and well that if you would be my lawyer, you would do a very good job. If I would have hired you, Tzofar, to be my lawyer in judgment, in Mishpat, in court, where I would bring Hashem to a Din Torah, you would be a very good lawyer. You would have very good arguments, present very good arguments on my behalf. But you're working for the other side. And therefore, any svara, any argument that's in my favor, you deny, you cut off, you put away. Tachmosu means to withhold. You withhold any thought that would be to my benefit, and instead present arguments that are to your benefit, to Hashem's benefit, why indeed I should suffer. Pasuk Chav Zayin Mitzudos. Hey Nidati. What?
Johnny Cochran.
What's Johnny Cochran?
From the O.J. Simpson trial?
O.J. Simpson trial? Okay, I vaguely remember that.
So where are they? I think he died already.
Yes.
Hey, Yodati, look at the Mitzudos. Hey, Yodati, Hine. Behold, Yodati Masha Atem Choshem L'Choshev Al Amori. I know what you say about, I know that. I've heard you out so far. And indeed, Alifaz and Bildad, I've heard you out, I've heard your arguments. But I'm also very well aware, new idea, we never had this idea until now. I also know that you, in the back of your minds, also know that I'm right. but you are withhold. You don't believe in your cause. You just parnasa, just the business. Whoever pays me is the one that I defend. I'm a professional lawyer. I'll present the case to the highest bidder. That's what he's saying. He's saying that already shows that you're a faker. And maybe that's the way it works in secular law. Who you being paid when it comes to your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his hanhaga of tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, then you don't go and argue for the highest bidder. Then you have to make a cheshbon hanefesh, who is right, who is wrong, and take sides with the one that is emes.
So maybe that's what he did.
That's what Sefer Adikah, sort of backs away?
No, to take the side that he thought was
Emes. No, so the Eov is telling the Sefer that it's not so. Eov is the text. Eov is making a very powerful statement that you're a faker, Sefer. You don't really believe in what you're saying. You make these arguments, but you really know that there's another side to the story, and you deliberately hide the evidence.
Why?
You deliberately. Why? Because so Eov actually addressed that question. If you broke him back, he says, because you are afraid for yourself. You come and you see what happened to me, and what do you say? That's natural. Whatever happened to him can happen to me. And I don't want it to happen to me, so I'll flatter Hashem. I'll say, Hashem, what you did is good, it's taka rasha. I'll take Hashem's sides in order to earn good favor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall let me live out my days and not suffer the same fate as Eov. Eov says, you really think you can flatter Hashem? Are you a fool? He said that many times. Are you a fool? You're taking sides with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates people that flatter him. And Adarabah, you're putting yourself in a more dangerous situation by taking the wrong side. Okay, well, let's see how he explains over here. Mezimos is a very important, this is a very important mitzudos. This is something new. But concerning all of the arguments which are makbilos, which are in conflict, which contradict umenagdo islohem, and contradict, umenagdo means that they're keneged, they're opposite, they're in conflict with your approach to my predicament, meaning that you believe that the reason why I suffer is because I am a Rasha, I deserve what I'm getting. You are aware that there's a flaw, there are many flaws in that theory. Hein hine, those flaws, oisam tasiru ba'avuri, you very cleverly put them away, you shred the evidence, you hide, you push it away. V'loy ta'imrum, and you don't refuse to present my side of the story. Now, what does all of this mean? What's the summary of this expression? Ko'imer, he means to say here, in essence, hine hadvarim hamisayimim lohem ta'imru, words, arguments which are support to your theory, you say, v'loy es hamagbilos, but you refuse to say the other side of the story. You refuse to present evidence that would be in to my benefit. And therefore, basically, what are you? You're a bunch of fakers. You're a bunch of fakers. You're not intellectually honest in dealing with my difficult matzav. Now, here he goes on to elaborate. Now he here is not Pasuk has a very powerful pasuk. He basically summarizes. Eov is brilliant. He summarizes the Sefer's argument in one pasuk. What's the pasuk? Kisaymer. What do you say? What's all this nonsense? This verbosity and this elaboration in Perek Chof. The essence of your argument is Ayei Beis Nodiv, the Ayei Ohel Mishkanos Rishoim. Now the Nodiv here, let me first try to explain it out before we see it inside. Nodiv means we'll come back to the Rashi in a moment, but we skipped. The Nodiv means the Tzaddik. The end of the pasuk, the parallel to the tzaddik is the rasha. That's simple. The bias has a connotation of security. A bias is a structure that is secure. Has padlocks. It has closed circuit TV. It's protected. There's nothing to worry. A mishkan. End of the pasuk, the parallel represents a tent that is weak, that is vulnerable, that can be blown away by the wind. A tzaddik is secure. A nodiv, a tzaddik is secure. He's secure in his way of life. Therefore, he doesn't need a security. I don't need to live. I don't need to live in a home protected by many layers of security. Hashem protects me. Because I am a tzaddik, I have done what Hashem wants of me, I have nothing to be afraid of. Right? Kol ha'olam kuloi gesher tzar ma'oid, and v'ikor lo l'fachedo, not to be afraid. If a person does the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has no need to fear, therefore he does not need a bias. On the other hand, a Rasha, a wicked man, he senses, his neshama senses that he is in a lot of trouble because of his sins. He fears for his life. He fears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strike him down. He feels vulnerable, and therefore therefore how does he express his fear? He builds for himself a fortress to protect himself from his enemies. Now obviously that's not going to help, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring down a Russia, Hashem, there's nothing holding back HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person, being that he's in a weak spiritual state, doesn't believes foolishly that he can outsmart Hashem, and he can protect himself, he can protect his own life, and he builds for himself a place of security. So therefore, what is over here, what is the summary of the presentation of Tzofar? Eof, guess what? There's no such thing in this world as a Rasha Vitovlo. Rashaim ultimately are defeated. And the proof is, you're not going to find a Rasha living in a Mishkan. You're not going to find wicked people living in tents. You're only going to find Rasham living in fortresses. Why? Why does Saddam, right? Saddam, he lived in he spent millions, hundreds of millions of bunkers and all of these, what are you so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? You're afraid because you have a lot of enemies. Why do you have a lot of enemies? Because you're a Russia. There's no Yerushalayim. So you foolishly think that your neshama senses that your end is near. And the way you express that is by building a fortress. How come we don't find in this world wicked people living in tents? Obviously, they're afraid for their lives. Why are they afraid for their lives? Because they're sinners. Tzaddikim, on the other hand, they live out in the open. I have nothing to be afraid of. Oh, but people can come, someone can come and kill them. Well, Hashem will protect me. I'll do my hishtadlus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect me. So this is a very powerful, but this is what, in essence, what Sefer is saying. There's no such thing as Rasha Vitovlo. The Rasha senses his demise is near. He has no menuchas hanefesh. And that itself is a form of punishment. That itself takes away from Tov, the good of the quality of his life. And ultimately, he does stumble and fall. Whereas the Rasha, or the Tzaddik, although he appears to an outsider that he's living, that he's suffering, the Tzaddik doesn't feel that he's suffering. He feels that he's the happiest person in this world. And the proof is, look how he lives his life. He lives in the Mishkan. This whole world in Zion is nothing more than a temporary dwelling, just an antechamber to the Olam Haba, and he feels secure and happy, and he doesn't need to come on to a bias. Ayei beis nadiv. Where is the bias of the nadiv? The nadiv lives in an ohel. On the other hand, the rasha doesn't live in a bias. It doesn't live in an ohel, but it lives in a bias. Ayei ohel mishkanos Hashem. Where is the tent of the mishkan of the Rasham? The rasha lives in a bias. Okay, this is the essence of what he said. Let's see the pasuk of Ches. Pasuk of Ches kisam asher techashvu loymar. Ayei beis nadiv. What was the essence of the argument you presented in the previous parak? Where is the beis nadiv? He means to say, halo lo yim solo bayis chazak l'schazek bo. Because you will not find a tzaddik sheltering himself in a strong house. Ki yechse b'seiser oholo. But instead, the nadiv, the tzaddik, he shelters himself in a tent. A tent is nothing. It's nothing. Anyone can overturn it. Mibli pach and mibli moruch. Because he's a tzaddik. Where is the Mishkan, the tent of the Rasha? You're not going to find wicked people living in the tent. Why not? Because the Rasha has no menuchas hanefesh. He knows his end is near. Yastir atzmo, he conceals himself. The sachshavu imkein lomar. And therefore, you, therefore, period. Now, therefore, what is Eof saying to so far? Therefore, what is your conclusion so far? The Sach Shavuim Kein Loimar. Shehapachad, this is critical, these words. Shehapachad hazeh hu be'atzmo yechoshev lohem ligmul va'onesh. That the Rasha has a very bad life. The fact that he lives his whole life with watching, looking behind his back, what's going to be tomorrow? I'm going to be destroyed in a few moments. That itself is the ultimate punishment, and there's no such thing as Rasha Vitovlo. And if you, Eov, indeed are suffering, it's not because you are a tzaddik viralo. There's just like there's no such thing as Rasha Vitovlo, there's no such thing as tzaddik viralo. And if you are suffering, it must be you indeed are a Rasha, and it's viralo. Therefore, you deserve this. So this is Eof summarizing the essence of Tzofar's argument in the previous period. Let's see Rashi. Rashi going back to Pasuk of Zayin. I skipped that Rashi by mistake. Pasuk of Zayin. Hein yidati mach shavoy sechem. I know what you think, Tzofar. Ve umezimos olai tachmosu. And I know that mezima means a thought or a plan that are a lie, which means that are to my benefit. Tachsomu, you conceal, you cleverly put away. Tariu lachshayv chomos, you have evil thoughts, you plan evil. Rashi appears to have a different interpretation in the Mitzudos. Rashi says, "Umezimo salai tachsama," means you're planning upon me evil. Okay, it's very different. Let's review. Mitzudos says, "I know about the arguments that are in your favor, and I know that you know about arguments that are in my favor, but you cleverly conceal." That's not how Rashi learns. Rashi says, "You're planning evil upon me." Umezimos means thoughts, plans, a lie upon me. Tachsomu means to deny, which means to deny me justice in this world, or good opportunity to live a good, healthy life in this world. Chomos, you're planning upon me harm. Ki pasuk of ches ki saimu b'shvil hara, because of the ra asher ba'asani that has come upon me. Atem oimrim ru'u ayei beis shalzeh. This is different than the Mitzudos. They are saying about Eof very simply. Where is your success? If you are really a tzaddik, Eof, then how come you're suffering so much? B'shvil hara asher ba'asani atem oimrim ru'u ayei beis shalzeh. What happened to this person's house? Shoyin Nadiv, Vayei Oyel Mishkano Shorishoyim, and go take a look, compare your situation to the tent of the evil, and you'll discover you're one and the same. Kiloimar, Kimohu, Kimohem, Birishoy Ovadeso, in your wickedness you've lost, Volomate Botchem Bishal Vaschem, and why do you have faith in your serenity? So according to Rashi, Rashi is saying completely different than the Mitzudos, and they're saying about Eof, you Eof were the Nadiv of years ago, once upon a time. What happened to you, Eof? Your base Nadiv is now equal to the Ohel of the Mishkanos Rishoim of the wicked. It must then be, the logical conclusion is, that if your Beis Nadiv, your bias has been destroyed, and now you find yourself in the same lot as the wicked people, it must be that you are a Rasha. And this is what Eof is spinning back in the face of Tzofar. That's what you say about me. I deserve what I get. But Pasuk of Tesi says to them, you're making a big mistake. Okay, so if we have to get a little Rashi in the Mitzvah, the big mistake is, Halo she'eltem oivrei dorech ve'ososom lo sinakeru. Now this is a very beautiful expression. Oivrei derech means people who know, who have traveled the world history. Okay, oivrei derech doesn't just mean people that travel on the roads. Okay, in the literal sense, it means people that have life experience. She'alta means you should ask. So far, wisen up. Why don't you go, you're a youngster, why don't you go to the Zakenim, and the Zakenim are people who have passed on the derech of life. They have much life experience. And they will prove to you that I am correct, that wicked people have wonderful lives. And there is something called Rasha V'Tovlai. And Rasha V'Tovlai automatically has the flip side of Tzadik V'Ralo. You cannot separate those two concepts. If there's something called Rasha V'Tovlai, there's automatically Tzadik V'Ralo. Once we establish Rasha V'Tovlai, that explains why I'm suffering. Because there's something called Tzadik V'Ralo. The also some lo sinakeru, sinakeru means strange, they will show you signs, concrete proof that it's true. The wicked people prosper and the righteous people suffer, and then you will come to the conclusion that I am right and you are wrong. Let's see Chavtes in the Mitzudos. Chavtes V'halosh Altem Ke'oimer. This means to say, going back to the approach of the Mitzudos, V'inei Sartem Ba'avuri Ma Min HaMachshavos. You are in a state of denial. You have selected to take Hashem's side, to take the side of the Rishon, to present the wrong arguments. And you have denied evidence that is to my benefit. Because if you would just go out into the world and speak to people who have life experience, who are called here the Ovrei Derech, they'll prove to you that I am right. Ki halo sha'altem, you should ask lo Ovrei Derech hayoidim who know hakoyrois hamishavim ba'olam. Events that happen in this world, the way the world works, and they'll tell you the also some ha'os v'hasim and asher nitnu l'sipuram, the signs and the which they'll give l'sipuram, the stories, the sipur, the relation of events. Halolo tuchlu l'hisnaker, when you'll hear the things that they have to say, when they will relate, it'll be mesaper. They how you mesaper be yitzias mitzrayim. When they will relate to you the way the world works, all of the world history, you will not be able to deny that I am right. So you will not be able to deny that the signs and the proof is strange. The loikenu, it's not so. But it is true. I am right and you are wrong. Pasuk of this in Rashi. Rashi says, Halo shaltem, kol zatem moishlem olai misholos. Rashi has a whole new interpretation. He's saying that it's not an instruction. It's not an instruction. But rather it's a statement that the Ovrei Derech, according to Rashi, appears to be the people who make up stories. Okay, a whole different interpretation. The Ovrei Derech are people that travel on the roads, people that don't know what they're doing. People who travel on the roads are in a state of confusion. They have a distorted view of reality. A person that has Yishuv Hadas, when you're at home and you have Yishuv Hadas, then you're able to see things the way they really are. But when you're traveling, you're hungry, you're looking for food, you're looking for a place to dwell, you don't have clarity of the mind. So what Eev is saying to Sofar is, your mind is confused. It's as if you've asked the people on the street who know from nothing to explain to you why I suffer. You go on the subway and you just pick a person at random. Go and find a homeless person and you pick them at random and say, you know, there's a guy, Eof, he's suffering. What do you think? What do you think he's suffering? Oh, he must be a bad person. So you've asked the wrong people. The wrong people are the Ovrei Derech, the also some. And the nonsense that they have presented, lo sinakeru, you don't look at it as being strange, but you readily accept it. That's how Rashi learns this pasuk. It's completely opposite than the Mitzudos. Pasuk of this, halo halo shaltem, kol zatem moishlem olai mishalos, you make up things about me. The also some asher hodiu eschem, the crazy things, the signs that other people have said about me, lo sinakrum misum alev, you refuse to remove it from your heart. Kamo vayisnaker alehim. We have the same word vayisnaker alehim, means to act strange. Like we have Yosef. Yosef made believe that it's not his brothers. He made believe that they were strangers. You have refused to make believe the words of nonsense are strange things, but you have accepted it as fact. Pasuk lamed ki loyim eid yechoshech ra loyim avaros yuvalu. Now here he's going back to describe the wicked. Or okay, let's take a look at Mitzudas. We're going to go back and describe the wicked again. He vacillates seemingly back and forth different ideas, but Pasuk Lamed Mitzudas says V'inei heim sipur, according to Mitzudas, the continuation, they have told you asher le'es bo eid ba'olam hinei horosha v'ra yachshech mimenu v'lo olav tiyin. Again, the Mitzudas l'shitasei, the Mitzudas learns that Eoiv is instructing his friend Sofar, you should speak to people who know how the world works. According to the Mitzudos, the word Oivrei Dorech is a very positive word. It's a very beautiful expression describing people who have real life experience. They will explain to you that I am right. There's something called Rasha Vitovlo. They will tell you that when the day of Eid means day of tragedy, when Churban comes to this world, Yecheshach Ra. They are, the evil is taken away from the evil. The Rasha is spared from this evil. They will relate. Evil will not come upon the Rasha. It's going on the word, you have to hear the word Yechashech a second time. It will be denied. The word Yechashech means it will be denied. It will be denied. Musa Yechashech Ra'alo Emar Lema Shaharan Nechshach Le'es Asher Yavohu Avoros Ucha'asim. When anger, Evra, and Kas comes upon the world, they will be denied. The Kaf Adab B'Mila Shanos Chaimer. What he means to say is, Halay Ba'avur Ze Yametz Levavo, V'Lo Yachas V'Lo Yifchad. That's why the wicked have such chutzpah. Their hearts are very strong, and they're not. They have no fear because they're Teflon. Nothing sticks to them. Nothing evil never comes upon them. And this, that the Oivrei Derech they would present, the arguments they would present, would prove that I am right, would directly contradict your logic. But v'loy sa'omrim, you refuse to accept. To accept this and to argue my BF. So I read the Pasuk Matam, let's read it according to the Mitzudas. Kiliyom eid ye choshech ra. On a day of tragedy, when evil comes to this world, when destruction comes to the world, the ra, the evil is ye choshech, is spared, is withheld from the Rasha. Now we have to repeat the word, and ye choshech again. And Yechoshech, it is speared in Yechoshech. I have it with a shishay, with a segel. I'm sorry, with a segel. Yechoshech, and it is speared from the evil. Liyom avaroso yuvol. Yuvol means when it's brought, when it's sent down to this world, suffering, tragedy, and destruction. It is speared from the evil. Avaros, the anger and punishment. So we're repeating the word twice. This is what the Holchei Derech would prove with concrete proof, which we're calling signs to you. And this would perfectly explain to you my predicament, why I suffer. Because just like there is something called Rosh HaVetovlo, there is Tzadik Viralo. But you, and you know this, and you're very well aware of this information, and you have access to this information, but you choose to ignore it because you want to take up a belief that that there's no such thing as Rasha v'toivlo, it's Rasha v'ralo, and if I suffer, it must because I'm a Rasha. And you're doing this because you want to flatter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you should not suffer the same fate. But you should be aware, you're making a very big mistake. Okay, so this is the way the mitzvah looks. Rashi obviously learns everything just the opposite. Rashi here learns, he's not going to have to add an extra word. It's Pasuk Lamed. Ki liyom amru lochem. What have the foolish people? According to Rashi, the Oivrei Derech are people who have no yishuv hadas. They're fools. They tell you lies. They have told you asher liyoyim eid ye chosechra. What does that mean? Harasha moineya v'nechshach meira v'shamar liyoyim hakvua liido. He's waiting for the day of his misfortune. Kash. So seemingly according to Rashi, the word yechosech means darkness or designation. That just the opposite, that the day of tragedy, there will come a point in time when the evil, where Hashem's anger will be poured out upon the Rasha. And Eov, if you're suffering, it must be that day has come for you. Liyoyim avarosu yuvalu. The next words are liyidik ma'asher chasakti le'etzar hitznaitem v'chashchitim lohidiyam ad yom karev ha'mulchama. Okay, it's another pasuk. He's quoting. I'm not familiar with this pasuk. The day of reckoning will come for the Rasha, and that's exactly what's happening to you. So, according to the Mitzvot, the word yechosechra does not mean to withhold. It appears that Rashi learns chosech lashon of choshech, darkness. The darkness of the evil man will come upon him in his due time. Liyoyim avarasu yuvalu, on the day of his anger, Hashem's anger, yuvalu, the punishment will come and be poured down upon the Rasha.
Okay, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, mi yagid al
panav
darko. That one means, I still think it means like Matsudas. It's going to be withheld from him until a point in time in the future.
Yeah.
When everything is going to
be. But that's not consistent. That's not consistent though with Rashi said in the previous Pasuk. Previous pasuk, Rashi was very clear. Halosh altem kol zatem moishlo molai mishalos vois veoisosem asher hidu eschem lo senakru misumaleif. Go back to pasuk chavches ki sarmu b'shvil harasher ba'asoni atem ayimim ru'u ayei beis ashal zesh shayinadiv ayei ohelu u'mishkanas shor. Kolama kmo kmohem. Rashi seems to be saying all these sukma are comparing that Eoiv is equally wicked, is a Rasha, and the let me see what it says. Give me 1 second. Over here, he translates the word. He translates over here also to be withheld, but I think it still means the same idea. There's a time that's coming for the Rasha. The Rasha ultimately will get what he deserves.
And ultimately, right. And right now it's withheld, and ultimately, then everything's going to come pouring down on his head.
And that day has come for you.
And that's not really true. I mean, he's been suffering for a long time. It's not like it's happening all at once.
No, so this is it. It's been 70 years. He had a very good life, and now finally, at this point in time, he's finally getting what he deserves. Okay, let's go for it. Maybe it'll become clear if we go to the next few psukim. Let's take a look at the next psukim. Pasuk. I want to finish the parak. Pasuk lamed al mi yagid al panav darkov who asa mi yishalem lo. Who will reveal to a person his ways? Who asa mi yishalem lo? See mitzvus pasuk lamed aleph. Pasuk lamed aleph miyagid bavur roiv hatslachaso mi im ken yuch lahagid darko lefanav uloi chichoy. Mitzudas certainly l'shitaso learns that the Rasha has a wonderful life, that the Rasha does not suffer, and due to his success, mi im ken yuch lahagid darko lefanav uloi chichoy lafchido. Who can shake up? According to the Mitzudas, the pasuk means who can tell the Rasha, behave yourself. The Rasha will laugh. I should behave myself. Look how successful I am. Obviously, everything that I'm doing, I'm right. I'm right and you're wrong. The Rasha will just mock anyone that tries to rebuke him, v'hu asa v'im ki hu asa sara, although he does the evil, asher chashav lasos, ein mi yishalim lo gemul, there's no one that can possibly punish him, can touch him. So read the pasuk one more time according to Rav Mitzudos, mi yagid al panav darko, who would dare tell the Rasha, say to him, your derech in life is wrong. Vuasa, he does whatever he wants. He commits every possible avera. Mi shalom lo, who can come along and say to the Rasha, we're going to punish you for your sins. I'm not doing a sin, I'm doing everything right. Rashi, pasik lam nalef, mi yagid al pon of darko, mihu ha-melech ha-god l'asher yagid al pon of darko, v'lo yiru mimenu, kamu niskov zeh kadosh baruch hu sh'asa. Who is the king? So this refers to kadosh baruch hu. Okay, seemingly Rashi is learning similar to mihu ha-melech ha-gadol asher yagid al pon of darko v'lo yiru mimenu kamu niskov zeh kadosh baruch hu sh'asa. This, according to Rashi, is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an entirely different than the Mitzudos. Let's take a step back. According to the Mitzudos, the Pasuk is addressing the Rasha. No one can tell the Rasha what to do. The Rasha is filled with enormous skaiva due to his success. No one can dare address the Rasha and tell him how dare your derech is wrong. He'll do whatever he wants and no one can touch him. According to Rashi, this Pasuk is referring back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat. Mi yagid al panav darko? Who can dare tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do? We have here Rishoyim. Rishoyim succeed. Hashem has his way of judging the world. Going back to how we started today with Pasuk of Beis, Halakel Yilame Doas, for who Ramim Yishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways of judging the world are exalted. According to Rashi, we're now going back to that theme. Who can dare tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, your ways are no good? V'asa, Hashem does what he wants. Mi Yishalem Lo, who can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how to conduct his affairs. That's similar to the way Rashi learns. Umi yishalem lo gmul risho mi yishalem lo. That does not fit into the second part of the pasuk. Mi hamelach hagod l'asher yagid al pon of darko v'lo yiru bimenu kamo hu niskav zeh kadosh baruch hu sh'asa. Umi yishalem lo gmul risho mi yishalem lo. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what this means according to Rashi. Okay, let's just finish up at least according to the Mitzvahs. The next pasuk. This goes back to the Rasha. The Rasha, the last few pesukim of the parak according to the Mitzvahs describes continuation of describing the success of the Rasha. And not only is he successful in life, he is successful in death. He has a wonderful funeral, a beautiful funeral where everyone gives him enormous kavod, and he has the most beautiful grave. He has a headstone like no one had. He has a whole room, a cave they built for him. He's brought to his grave, v'al gadish, and to the gadish. Now this is a fasting or a Shabbos, a fasting interpretation of this pasuk. The heap yishkot, swift. This idea goes back to what we learned yesterday, that he has a very swift death. He does not have to suffer in death, but more than that, he's buried very quickly. This touches upon in Yonei Kabbalah. We know that in Orthodox Jewish law, there is a rule that a person should be buried as quickly as possible. We have Emunah from Chazal, that the neshama does not have menuchas hanefesh until it is buried. After the body is put in the earth, the neshama receives a degree of menucha. And until that happens, it's in a very confused state. And that's why by Hasidim, they're extremely makbid on this, to do the burial as quickly as possible. In Eretz Yisrael, they bury at night. In America, it's very difficult, very expensive, because of the unions, because we live in a Geisha world, and there's no such concept that the body, the neshama, needs menucha, so there's usually a delay until a day, or two, or three, whatever the situation is. But al pi kabbalah, it's kedai to happen immediately. But even among Orthodox Jews, they're all all these problems, situations where a body that's not buried right away. We know that so with Shaul, where the people, the whole those soul, they're let's say on Beitar for 7 years, their bodies were not buried. That represents a tremendous tsar. And then there's a story with people that are hung. Pasuk says, "Don't leave over the nevel until the next day." There are many different ma'arim mekamos in Chazal where we find there's an inyan to be buried right away, not to suffer. So here we have the word yishkod. Yishkod means swiftly. The Rasha, not only does he have it good in this world, this is an amazing concept, he even has it good when he dies. Isn't that a scary thing? Now, obviously, there's going to come a point in time after in the Olam HaEmes when he's going to suffer. But that's not immediate. Even after he dies, the time of death until the neshama enters the grave, even that will happen swiftly, so the Rasha should not have to suffer discomfort at that moment in time. It's an amazing idea. Now, the word Gadish is a code, a keyword for a grave. Now, why? A Gadish means a pile. A Gadish means a heap. So simply, one interpretation is, it's a reference to a piece of land, the earth, where the person is buried. But it has another connotation of a mound of stones. Rav Schwab says, that I don't know his source, that in ancient times it was customary, you didn't put one big headstone, slab of stone like was done today. A person was buried on a heap of stones. Many small stones were used to cover or to define the location. As they do. A goddess of stones. Yeah. Of stones. Not of earth. No, the goddess we make is of earth. That's to show it's Suez HaKever. They make a goddess, they make a what's called Suez HaKever of earth. But it appears that we put down after that stone, we put down a matzev, and our matzevs are one big stone. There's a big stone, a stone that's flat, a stone that's a headstone that stands, all different, but it's one big stone. In ancient times, there was no such thing as putting down one big, heavy, massive stone. They put down multiple little stones. Hundreds of little stones would cover the location where the mace is buried. That's called a gadish. A gadish means a pile of stones. Rav Schwab says, that's the makar for the minig of putting a stone on a matzev. I always say, what's the minig? I always say, the minig is, you want to show the person, you're was here. I was there. You have a headstone, and you put on the headstone, a little, you search and you find a little stone, I was here. That might be one source. Rav Schwab says, based upon this pasuk, read in the book, the makar of putting down a little stone is to reenact the way people used to be buried in ancient times. The way they were buried in ancient times was with many stones. So when you come there, you put another stone, it's like the traditional form of burial, not as just simply as a zecher. Gadish yishkod, he rests quickly in this gadish. Let's see the mitzvahs first. The pasuk lamed beis. The mitzvahs pasuk v'hu l'kivos yuval kishayavo yomo. When this person's day comes, yiskil l'kavura kiderechol. That itself is a very big bracha. The fact that a person is zechut to kavura is something a person can't take for granted. Unfortunately, we all know too well from 9/11, there were many people that were vaporized, that were not zechut to kavura.
Holocaust also.
The crematorium, that's right, they were not zechut. So something you can't take for granted, oh, the person will die, will be zechut. Chazal said that there's something very big, a very big merit to the neshama that the body has kavura. So something that can't be taken for granted. People drown. People, some learn that drowning in the water, the ocean, is also kavura. But he's the Rasha, despite all of his riches, is zocha, has the merit of kavura. Next, the al gadish yishkod yimaher lishkoy val tala kever. He will quickly descend into a tala mound of the kever. He also ki gadish, that smell like a gadish, a heaping mound. Ki lo yis ma mohu bikvuraso. Amazing. There will be no delay. That's a very big zuchus. Laman lo yispaz achar hamisa. Okay, now primarily the mitzvah tries to dampen this Kabbalistic concept being buried very quickly. It just says there's a very practical reason why a person would prefer to be buried very quickly. The body should not decay before refrigeration, before modern technology, where the body body loses refrigeration. It's a hot summer day. The body decays. So forget about any yoni kabbalah. Let's put all that aside. It's just the bizui hames that the body quickly decays after misa if there's a delay before it is buried. Based upon that, Rav Moshe holds that to be the ikar. He holds that bisman hazeh, the delay. Rav Moshe is not in his tshuvas, is not into this kabbalah inyan that there's the neshama does not have menucha until he's buried. The ikar is mishum bizui hames, and being that bisman hazeh there is no bizui hames, very little bizui hames because of refrigeration in the morgues. So many of the halachas that Chazal were misakin that should be done for the mace for a quick burial do not apply bisman hazeh, namely Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, the Gemara says that a person can be buried on the first day Yom Tov and the second Al Yidei Amamin and the second day Yom Tov Al Yidei Yisrael. The Hasidim are very into this. They bury Mamish the Yom Tov Sheni for sure. Al Yidei even Al Yidei Yisrael. Al Yidei, they start shiva. They do everything. Rav Moshe is very against this. In the Litvish Olam, the Bnei Torah, they don't do this. This is off limits. They follow primarily the Pesach of Rav Moshe that the Bizman Hazed there is. No bizui hames because of refrigeration, so it's done. You wait until Yom Tov is over. So here he says that's the mitzudas. The mitzudas Shamsi never. Shabbos is never doicha. What? Even if Shabbos comes after. So you wait. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. You have to wait. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, but over here, over the Mitzudos here does not talk about this Kabbalah. The Mitzudos over here very, very precisely says over here, Loshlo Yispaze Hames. The Kor Godish, he calls it a Godish, Al Shem Soifai, Kia Achar Akvur Nasetel. The Chain, the Tochani Kemach, to make, to pile it up with, it means to make a man. Okay, so this is how the Mitzudos learns, and again the Makor. Okay, we have to. There's a Rashi here, but we'll have to wait for tomorrow. I'll finish up tomorrow. There's more official. We'll leave this for tomorrow.